Chairs on the M23. Chairs on the M23. 4 years we ran that cafe in Eastbourne's Prince's Park. 4 years of wind-whipped summers, soggy winters, countless flat whites and bacon rolls. It wasn't just a business. It was a rhythm, a life, a living thing. So when Annie Wills emailed to say the long-delayed plans for a new cafe were finally approved, I allowed myself a flicker of hope. She'd said, back when the paint was still drying on our signage, that we'd get first crack at the new build, that we'd be given priority, that our graft would mean something. But apparently, promises are like sugar cubes in hot tea. They dissolve fast. Because just like that, we were told the new cafe and lease were going to Brighton University. No tender, no consultation, not even the courtesy of a heads up. Our role? Pack up and piss off. All further correspondence was to go through Martin Jones, a senior program manager for Regeneration, Housing and Economic Development Partnership, which sounded less like a job title and more like a demolition squad wrapped in a spreadsheet. Jane and Andy, who ran the concession, were just as blindsided. Granted, their arrangement had been verbal, possibly good for 3 years. Still, they'd made good on their end. They'd built something real. They moved down from Leicestershire, rented a little house in Pevensey Bay, and poured themselves into the cafe. Wednesdays were their masterpiece. Andy and Jane turned the place into a refuge for the elderly. They'd liaised with care homes, secured a minibus, created a menu of discounted meals, and filled the place with laughter, music, and life. Andy even built a Santa's grotto each December. Proper wood, real lights, no half-arse tinsel. It looked better than anything on the high street. They had a following, families, dog walkers, the lonely, the chatty, the local. It was community in action, and it was being bulldozed by bureaucracy. I emailed Martin Jones and explained our disappointment. He was sympathetic, maybe even a little embarrassed. In the end, after speaking with his team, he offered Pistachios in the Park £10,000 to vacate the premises. We held the head lease, so the check came to us. I handed the whole sum straight to Andy and Jane. No hesitation. It was their heartbreak, too. They moved on, temporarily managing the Pier Hotel in Eastbourne. I was left with the clear-out, the screws, the sinks, the flat-pack skeletons of what once felt like a future. We hired a lockup in Eastbourne, £1 for the first month, a brief breath of space, some kit we sold on eBay. What didn't sell, we shifted to the brick-built unit we had in Memorial Park, Redhill, and that's when things went sideways. I had my trusty black Toyota Hilux, big, sturdy, a workhorse. I figured I could haul the last of the IKEA tables and chairs myself. So I loaded it up, stacked high, strapped tight with my ratchet set, checked it twice. It looked secure. It felt secure. So I set off, through Eastbourne up the A27 and onto the M23. 10 minutes in, the chaos started. A horn, then another. Then some bloke overtakes me, throws the full hand wanker, sign in the mirror, glaring at me like I'd kicked his dog. That's when I saw it, one of the chairs bouncing down the middle lane behind me like a rogue antelope. Then another. My stomach dropped. My hands went cold. I'd caused a pile-up. I pulled over, shaking, called the police, owned it, no excuses. I just sat there, sweating behind the wheel, wondering if I'd just changed someone's life for the worse because I didn't triple-check. When the police arrived, they were surprisingly calm. A bit bemused, really. The damage was minimal, no injuries, but the traffic was at a full stop. A few chairs had somersaulted into chaos behind me. They moved the debris to the side and inspected the truck. One of them gave me a good-natured telling off, while the other inspected my straps. "Look, mate," he said, "next time, maybe IKEA's not meant for the open road, yeah?" Then he laughed. "Could have been worse, least if anyone breaks down behind you, they'll have somewhere to sit." No fine, no points, no court summons, just a bruised ego and a deep sense of relief. I kept expecting a letter in the post, some follow-up slap. But nothing ever came. Diane called it luck, I didn't. Luck was that no one was hurt. Luck was that the universe had handed me a second chance rather than a tragedy. This was just mercy. No one got hurt. That's all I cared about. As I drove off again, I kept glancing in the mirror, half expecting another chair to make a break for it. I thought about how quickly things unravel, how 4 years of work can be tied down with a strap and still come loose on the motorway. Sometimes, even when you think you've secured it all, your plans, your business, your future, something falls off, and if you're lucky, the only thing that gets dented is a chair.